Today I'd like to begin with a story of the Israelites. If you will, turn with me to Exodus 36. Exodus 36, and starting in verse 1. And Beziel and Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses called Beziel and Aholiab, and every gifted artisan whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred up to come to do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him free will offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, "The people bring more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do." So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all work to be done. Indeed, too much. So is that the kind of attitude that we take when we come before God? And not just come before God when we're giving offerings, but when we come before God every day. This idea that there's actually too much, that we are that we have sufficiently done what was required, but we're even going above and beyond that. And that's what is important in this small section here of the Israelites, of what they had done, that attitude they had of giving free will offerings every morning. The people were, at that time, they were sacrificing of their possessions. They had been on the road, so to speak, for a generation. They didn't have, it's not like they carried or they were doing a lot. They gave everything that they could to try to build this sanctuary. And that brings me to the point of my message. That is, that God is interested in our sacrifice as an offering. You know, a free will offering should carry a cost to each of us. The comments Jesus made about the widow and the rich person giving their offering speaks to that idea. That giving out of your abundance wasn't as important, wasn't looked upon by God as highly as somebody who gave out of their sustenance, gave out of everything they had. And the sacrifice is integral to God's plan. And it is the door by which we are entering our salvation. And we must hold sacrifice with the importance it has, with importance that it requires. We know that God sacrificed His Son because of us, for us. The entirety of human existence would not be around if not for that sacrifice. Our existence, our entire future revolves around a single sacrifice, the most giving of all sacrifices the world had ever known. And the world would not exist without it. In Deuteronomy 16:16, as we quote a lot, and I'll just use a small section here, it says, "No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed." Some of the keys of that scripture. We shall not appear before God empty-handed when we come before on these holy days. And of course, any envelope we are holding would constitute as a hand not empty, as us appearing before God without empty hands. But is that all that God requires? Genesis 4, turn with me there, starting in verse 1. Genesis 4, starting in verse 1. "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, 'I have acquired a man from the Lord.' Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Does the type of offering we give then matter to God? You know, based upon this example, this particular physical sacrifice seemed to be more important than another physical sacrifice. You know, was meat at this point more important to God than giving of the fruit of the ground? Well, to partially answer that, let's turn to 1 Samuel, chapter 13. First Samuel 13 is starting in verse 8. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. This is talking about Saul. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and a peace offerings here to me." And he offered the burnt offerings. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, 'The Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord.' Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever." You know, meat was offered here, like Cain did, but it was not accepted by God. That sacrifice was not accepted because it was sacrificed, as with Cain, with the wrong intentions. And that wrong intention cost Saul his kingdom, and it probably and possibly cost him his eternal life. You know, it's maybe difficult to see why Abel's offering was not accepted at this, you know, in Genesis, but Cain, or Abel's was, but Cain's was not. At that, unless you read the New Testament, if you will, turn with me to John, or 1 John 3. First John 3, and in verse 12. "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous." So we know what Cain was like. He was like the wicked one, like Satan. That was his heart. That was how he was basing his offerings. In Hebrews 11, in verse 4, you can read about his brother. You know, it's always good to be mentioned in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks." You know, sacrifice and offering mean nothing if what is behind it is misguided or it is ungodly. You know, Cain was doing things his way. Saul was doing things his way. And at that point, it doesn't matter what they brought before God. It was not going to be acceptable in God's sight. So what we bring before God today and on a daily basis as we walk through this life can have far-reaching implications to our spiritual life, our spiritual health. Our offerings are planned for. They've been written in checks. We've sealed our envelopes. We are ready to bring to God what we have planned for. What we can add to with today's offerings, though, is a commitment to change our own hearts, our own intentions. In fact, this determination should not stop or should not be limited just on these days that we give offerings. That should happen to us, and that should be part of our daily observance as we walk this path, this Christian path. So, brethren, as we go through this Holy Day season, we must remember, as we're enjoying all of these great things, that we are called to please God, not ourselves. And let's have that same willingness that Israel had during that short time while they were building that temple to sacrifice to God whatever is needed to fulfill His will. We will be taking up an offering today. We'll have special music before that.